Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Saints sideline reporter and our digital creator here for sports, Jeff Nowak. Jeff was at LSU's Pro Day today, and Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
For sure, guys. How you doing?
Good. Jeff, I'm starting with Garrett Nussmeier. It was obvious last year. You and I had this conversation. Something was wrong. We didn't know the full extent of what was wrong with him. But when those passes started to dive, you know, like a yard and a half before the receiver, and then it would stray, you knew, okay, he's always going to have a little bit more than a little bit more of a riverboat gambler in him. But, man, he always could get the ball there. And that was not the case. But after what happened to him this season and understanding the coach at that time trying to cover it up, his injury, he's won the offseason. I thought he did a really good job at the Senior Bowl. He threw the football really well at the Combine. And today you got to witness it again, throwing the football very well. And to be honest with you, I got a feeling he will not get out of the second round. I think somewhere in round two, Garrett Nussmeier is going to get selected.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is, you know, I think we all want to kind of blame Brian Kelly for how that whole situation went, and he's the head coach and whatever. I don't think Garrett had any interest in that information getting out there. And I know
that's true.
Nussmeier talked today, like he was going to play. He's a fifth-year senior. He waited his turn. Like, this is his opportunity. He thinks he has a chance to win a championship. He was going to go until he couldn't go. So, I mean, as far as it is anyone's, you know, fault, you know, he wanted to give it his best shot, the core injury that came on the second day of camp. You know, what he kind of said today is a lot of it was, you know, he's just trying to get the ball out of his hand. He's not able to put the velocity on the ball that he needs to, developing bad habits. And then it just kind of went from there, and it got to a point where he couldn't throw at all. And it hurt his draft stock. I mean, there's no way around it.
That's
playing
true.
Through that injury impacted his outlook as a professional. So, you know, I think the pro day circuit, the combine, is important for any prospect, but it's even more important for Garrett because he has to go out there and show that, no, that 2025 tape shouldn't erase the 2024 tape. Like, the 24 tape is me too. I just wasn't able to play like that player. And, you know, he said he was healthy 9 days before the Senior Bowl. He only had 9 days to kind of start throwing again and get ready for that showcase. So, you know, he probably wasn't his sharpest at that point. But, yeah, I think he completed 69 of 72 passes today. The velocity on those passes was impressive. He had a lot of movement. You know, he was throwing off platform. I thought the receivers played pretty well for him as well. I thought Xavion Thomas in particular had a really nice day, you know, hauling in those passes. But no, I think Garrett is just kind of showing and rebuilding that draft stock because there's no reason to look at him and say, okay, well, that 24 season doesn't matter, right? It's like that tape is real. And, you know, I think a team's going to get really good value on Garrett. But I agree with you. I think he's a second round pick.
Harold Perkins Jr., loved the athlete. I'm not sure exactly kind of how he fits. And I was telling this to Charlie, he's sort of a schematic fit with people because you see his size. He's 6 foot and a little change. He's 222 pounds. He can run like hell in the forward position. But we've seen the struggles with him has been in reverse, in the coverage part of the game. And now they playing so much big nickel, you know, and you know, big dime and everything else. There's maybe a spot, but it would have to be in the right position with him because a lot of people say, well, just put him on the line, let him rush the quarterback. Okay, if I'm a 6'7", 330-pound guy, and I get my hands on you, I'm going to squash that 6'5", 222-pound guy. Now, using him as in a blitz situation inside or off the edge, that might be the deal. But he put up, and this isn't a surprise, I knew he's a great athlete, and what he did today, but I still, it bothers me exactly where I would play him because my first thought would be outside linebacker as right. a weak side guy. But, you know, I'm going to have to ask him to cover, and it's more than 5 or 6 yards. So your thoughts on Harold Perkins Jr., because, man, he had a great day today.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's built to be an off-ball linebacker, but his skill set screams on-ball linebacker, right? Like, it doesn't really fit. But no, it's the athleticism. He kind of reminds me of Isaiah Simmons in that way. Like, no one really had a plan for what they were going to do with him either, but he's such a good athlete. Like, you find a way. Obviously, Isaiah Simmons went at the top of the draft because he was so incredibly gifted, but you look at his career and no one could figure out what to do with him. And I think Harold's kind of that tweener too. And I don't know. It is crazy to think you go back 2-3 years and people are talking about him like, oh, that's a first round draft pick. And now we're kind of like, is he a fifth round or is he a sixth round or where does he play? But no, I mean, he did a good job today. He did what he had to do. And I think it's going to come down to a team that has a vision for him. Like, okay, we can use him in this capacity. He's not going to be a fit for everybody, for every scheme. But, you know, I do think that he put his best foot forward today. You run a 4.440 at your pro day. No one's going to complain about that. But it's going to be a matter of can he produce at the NFL level? And I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, he's, to me, a guy that it's like an old car that refuses to go in reverse. Okay, I can go forward, but I can't back it up nowhere. And that's sort of Harold Perkins, the football player. One guy who kind of stood on his combine numbers, I'm a big fan of. Herb Tyler used to always give me all kind of, I'm going to clean up the word, but always trouble every Saturday when we're talking about, you know, Delane. But the other one was A.J. Halsey. And what he means defensively, he was a freshman All-American at New Mexico, spends a couple years at Houston, and then has a huge season last year at LSU. He's a 5'11", 215-pound guy. And if you cross his area, he's going to try to knock your block off. He's a really good run defender, tackles well. But where he got so much better, the final kind of last part of his year at Houston and then this year is in the coverage part of the game. I think also he's a guy that I think will be a top 45 pick at safety. I think he'll have four safeties going to top 45. That's how good a year it is at that safety spot. The buzz on A.J. Halsey.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get an answer on why he didn't participate today. You know, he also didn't participate at the Senior Bowl. And I think that's, I don't know, like there's going to be workouts. He did work out at the combine. He put up decent numbers at the combine. I think he is kind of a unique situation where I think he would have benefited from really going through this whole process. And I don't know if it's a health thing, but, you know, I don't know if he's putting the information out there that's going to make teams feel comfortable, right? Like the more information teams have, the more they might be willing, you know, if you have a top 45 pick, like you're saying, okay, well, I really like what I'm seeing from him. You see the metrics, you have all the data points. I think there's going to be teams that don't feel comfortable with the amount of data they have on him. But no, I mean, I agree with you. I think he kind of is built to be kind of, I don't know if he can play the nickel, if he can be kind of a box safety. I think he has that kind of physical traits. But I can't really say much because the two events I was at was the Pro Day and the Senior Bowl to get a good look at him. They didn't participate in either of those.
Yeah, I took a day off. But man, he's listening to his agent. Sometimes that's not the best thing in the world, but that's why you pay him. One guy I've had some friends of mine call me in the agent business about, he was not productive at LSU last year, but he was productive at Southeastern and he was productive at Oklahoma, the former quarterback, high school quarterback, Bauer Sharp. And, you know, he's a big, tall drink of water, and he can get downfield, he can catch the football. He's solid as an inline blocker. He's never going to overwhelm you there, but he knows how to get in the way to throw a block. Any buzz around Bauer Sharp, who seems to be a guy on day three a lot of teams would have an interest in, and this is a pretty good tight end draft, as it has been the last 3 years. Let's just hope the Saints try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, he's built well, 6'4", 253, right? He's got good hands. He moves well. I don't know if, you know, blocking is a question I have. It's always tough to project a college blocker to an NFL blocker because, the situations you're asked to block in are a lot different. The players you're asked to line up against are a lot different. But no, I thought he moved well today. He's a day three guy. You know, if a team falls in love with him, he kind of reminds me of the kid from Clemson a few years ago, Davis Allen.
Yeah,
I say his name as he's on the Rams now. I think he got a touchdown against the Saints this year. I know he caught a couple passes in that game. They use all their tight ends. It kind of reminds me of him. Like, he can move. I just have questions about how the game translates, but he looked good out there today.
You know, Jeff, you see on social media the Saints post in the video of Saints cornerbacks coach Grady Brown working with cornerback Monster Delane. And that was what Mike and I basically led the show off with, is that Delane putting on a show at his pro day after basically not doing really any of the on-field stuff at the combine. It was good to see, because I think it solidifies his positioning near the top of this draft, his cornerback one as well in this draft class, and maybe, you know, potential fit for the black and gold with the eighth overall selection, because we keep talking about all the top receivers, all the top defensive ends, you know, maybe even safety with Caleb Downs. But Monsoor's name has kind of gotten a little bit lost in the flood of things. And just your thoughts on, you know, his basically this past year at LSU, where he was an All-American cornerback, but also his potential fit with the black and gold.
Yeah, I mean, you watch him move around. You just, every time you go out to these pro days, there's always like one or two players that you're just like, okay, why is this guy a first-round pick? And then you go out there and you watch him just move. And he just moves different. Like, he's just a different level of athlete than all these other guys. He ran a 4.35. You know, wasn't Grady Brown, Saints cornerbacks coach, was out there working with him. The Saints rolled deep. You know, Jeff Ireland, I didn't see. Kellen Moore, I didn't see. I think he was out in Miami today. But everyone else was there. You had Mickey Loomis. You had Kai Harley, Michael Parenton, obviously Nuss. But no, I think he's in play. I think cornerback is a sneaky need position for this team. And obviously the slot corner spot is where you're looking. But, you know, I don't think the Saints are going to turn their nose up at an elite corner prospect when they see him out there. And he is very much an elite prospect. Like, you just watch him move around and you can see it. And we saw it week in, week out at LSU. Like, you were not throwing at him. If you threw at him, it was probably a mistake. So I'm really fascinated to see where he goes, because it does feel like he's getting slept on as a prospect. He's not getting talked about as much, but I would be surprised if he gets out of the top 10.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I think, to me, 7-11 is where you're looking at him, but I do think that 7-8-9 pick is where you're going to look at it with him. Aaron Anderson, who's he's certainly not the biggest cat around, and, man, he's a playmaker. Didn't matter when he was in high school at Edna Carr, and he's the only guy I remember. Alabama beats LSU, and Aaron Anderson seeks out then-Alabama head coach Nick Saban, and he was like, hey, why did you leave? You'd have been playing a lot more football with us than you are at LSU. And he's always been a productive guy. And he's a playmaker with the ball in his hands. The first thing I would tell him is, hey, no matter what, you're going to return punts for us. Okay, I know you can do that. Play in the slot, do some of that jet sweep stuff, but also return punts. Your thoughts on Aaron Anderson?
Yeah, what's going to hurt Aaron in this process is, you know, the measurables aren't there. Obviously, the height's not there. He has a 28.5-inch vertical leap. 4.55 40, and you know, he's a short area quickness guy, so I think you're going to be able to sell him as a special teams contributor. But I think you're going to see a lot of teams like, okay, we could find a higher end athlete than that. I think all three of these guys, I think Aaron Anderson, Berrion Brown, Xavion Thomas, all have legitimate upside as punt, kick return, special teams guys. And I think what's going to hurt Aaron in this process is you got a lot of options there. And are you going to go with the 5'8 guy? You're going to go with the 6 foot guy who has better measurables, better explosive numbers. You know, the RAS score is way higher. But he is a gamer. Like, I do love watching Aaron Anderson play. I hope he gets an opportunity somewhere. You talk about a guy like Deontay Harris when the Saints found him. He's Deontay Hardy now. I mean, people probably said a lot of the same things about him. But no, I really like Aaron. I think he's a really good player. He's another guy who played hurt a lot last year. You know, he was constantly just wrapped up in one thing or another. So hopefully, I hope a team gives him a chance as a UDFA.
Man, I'd like to have seen Berrion Brown return more kickoffs. The kickoffs he did in Kentucky was so impressive. And then, bang, you know, they play in the Houston Bowl, and the son of a gun runs it back all the way. Man, the one thing with Berrion, straight line speed, man, he's fast as hell with a football and a helmet on. But I think you're right about with Xavion, with Aaron, and Berrion. All of them's initial impact will have to be on special teams. And now there's more and more emphasis put on that. You know why? Because that Rashid Shaheed dude, everybody saw what he did for Seattle. Right. And I think that is drawing the interest for everybody today.
Yeah, and teams want two kick returners now, right? Like, it's no longer, hey, we have a return ace, we throw them back there. You want both of those guys to be a threat, because if they aren't, then you're just going to kick it to the guy you're not afraid of, right? So I do think that the return ace is kind of returning, for lack of a better word, in the NFL in a way that it hasn't been for the last, you know, decade until they changed the kickoff rules. So guys like Xavion, Berrion, Aaron, you know, I think there's a niche that they can climb into this in the modern, in this version of the NFL special teams world that maybe they might not if they came out 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. Cenk, thanks so much for joining us. Always great stuff. Appreciate it, buddy.
Sounds good, y'all.
All righty. Jeff Nowak does a great job as the Saints sideline reporter, also our digital media guy for sports, covering LSU's Pro Day.